Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. If you recognize that theme song, you do know that it is time for this broadcast, and you are part of the listening family right here on WMAF of this radio station and of this particular broadcast. If you don't recognize that theme song, then you are new to this broadcast in particular, and we welcome you today. We'd like you to be our special guest, whether you're a Christian or not. We want you to join with us as we gather around the Word of God to get the good news. Amen. I do read papers. Some people don't take the paper because there's so much bad news and it distracts them from the good news in the Scripture. I'm not condemning that, but I don't have ostrich faith. I don't go put my head in the sand and live and pretend that we live in a world without trials and without pressures and without heartaches and heartbreaks and without all kinds of threats and all kinds of bad news. Oh, friend, but I always go to the good news from the Word of God to offset the effect of seeing and hearing these things that are occurring around us today. I don't pull my head in like a turtle when the threats are all around. I do what the Bible said to do. The Bible said when you see these things, and they are negative, these harbingers of things to come in this world and these testimonies that we are in the end time, they are negative events that are occurring. Jesus said when you see them occurring, lift up your head. Don't bury it in the sand. Don't pull it in your shell. Lift up your head because your redemption is drawing nigh. This means the coming of the Lord is very, very soon. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I've got my head lifted today above these things that could get me down and keep me from believing that God is going to bring a harvest of souls into His kingdom just before the coming of His Son and our Savior. I believe in Holy Ghost revival, that is driven by the Holy Spirit, not the ingenuity and the energy of men, but that is done by God Himself, that is aided by angels. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, a day is coming when the angel himself is going to fly in the midst of the heavens, having the everlasting gospel to preach to every kingdom. Praise God. We're going to have angelic assistance in the future, and I believe angels are available right now to aid and abet us in the furthering of the gospel of Jesus. I know I've had angelic deliverance in my life. I didn't have to see them to know they were there, because I've been in some precarious situations that God has delivered me from, and I'm going to give Him the glory and angels the credit for helping me. Praise God. Amen. That's a whole other message, and we'll get in it sometime with testimony. But right now, we have what I believe to be the keynote message for this year from the Holy Spirit through this particular ministry, and it's Christ in you. Christ in you, if you're a Christian, the hope of glory. And I want to talk to you today about the mystery of Christ in you to continue this message. And I will make it very clear again. It is a mystery understood that constitutes the true riches of the Christian faith. We hear a lot about wealth and riches from the world and in many segments of the church, and I want to go on record as saying that David of old said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. God cares for His covenant people. He has always cared for us. But what we want to clearly delineate is the difference between the riches and wealth of this world and the spiritual riches that we now possess in Jesus Christ. Praise God. And I want to make a declaration to you today. If you have Jesus as your personal Savior, Christ in you is the true riches that bring all the spiritual blessings into our life and into our view that far surpass the transient riches of this fallen world. Christ in you means that we are spiritually rich as Christians. We were in spiritual poverty until Christ came in, and now we have all the riches of God's kingdom because we have God's great King, Jesus, living within us. We are now rich because He is rich. Praise God. There is a value shift, a paradigm shift in our values. Amen. When Jesus comes to live within us, everything changes. If any man be in Christ, the Bible said he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Everything becomes new. And when Christ comes to indwell us, we have an awareness that something so powerful, personal and precious has occurred, that we have a wealth spiritually that is beyond any competition or comparison with all the things that all the wealth of the world could purchase and to buy. That's why we need to delineate between, amen, the riches of the world and the riches of the kingdom of God. See, the kingdom of God is like this. Jesus taught that the kingdom of God is like a man who found a treasure in a field. He was probably plowing and he hit something he thought was a rock that needed to be removed, plowing new ground. And when he hit that rock and it bent the plow blade almost, and he dug around and found that it wasn't a big rock beneath the surface at all, but it was a box filled with all kinds of jewels and pearls and rubies and gold and silver. And when he finds thereof, guess what he does? Because he's plowing this for someone else. He's plowing a field for someone else who owns it. He sells everything he has so he can buy that field, because he has discovered something in that field that's worth more than anything that he's going to get rid of in order to get it. And when someone discovers the true riches of being a child of God, amen, and we have the devil still showing us the kingdoms of this world if we would follow him, and we say, man, you got to be out of your gourd. I'll give up all of this. We used to sing it. People saw the kingdom. They saw the value, the true riches. They begin to get a handle on it. And as they put it in the new vernacular, to get their head wrapped around it, praise God, and get a new value system and a new understanding and appreciation and an appropriation of what is ours in Christ. Amen. They used to sing, take this whole world and give me Jesus. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. Oh, Jesus told us and warned us about looking back, because looking back is the first stage and step to going back. Amen. And he said, remember Lot's wife. She was delivered from the city of destruction, but her heart was still toward it and still in it. And she looked back, and a very unusual judgment fell upon her. Something that would be so striking an example and to us today, and to really shock us into the reality that we are not to pursue those things that bring destruction, but that brings blessing. And that is not pursue the temporal, but the eternal, the spiritual over the material. She looked back and became a pillar of salt. Incredible judgment to remind us. And Jesus again reiterates that judgment, that we might look back in remembrance. Remember Lot's wife. God has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness, the powers of darkness itself, and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Let me remind you of what He said about this kingdom. He said the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. In other words, it's not to just indulge ourself with our body, our physical body in this material world, but it's righteousness, it's peace, and it is joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, Don't get me wrong. Our Father knows what we have need of. He knows we need food. He knows we need raiment. But what He's saying to us is we have a greater need than that. And we need to look to God to meet that need. And that is the need for our sins forgiven. The need for the promise of life eternal. Because this world, this life, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm turning 67 this month. And man, I never thought I'd be in at this stage of life this quick. I knew it would come someday, but it was always someday way out there. And to wake up one morning and say, you know, I'm getting into the to where they don't card me anymore for senior discounts. Praise God. Amen. They don't have to say, do you qualify? They know I qualify. It shows that I qualify. Things are changing and life seems to be speeding by. Some of you relate to that already. It seems like life is being accelerated and the years are passing so very quickly. I am so glad that I know Jesus, and I'm so glad when it comes time, amen, to bid this world goodbye, that when I draw my last breath here, I'm going to draw my next breath in heaven. Praise God. I'm so glad, amen, to know the one who said, I am the resurrection and the life. Hallelujah. That if I would believe in Him, that I would not perish, but have eternal life. Praise God. And then He walked over and He brought Lazarus out of the tomb. Praise God, to show He had power over the grave and power over death. And this conquering King, Jesus, who rose from the dead and became the first fruits of them that slept. You know what that means? As that scripture means, it means He became the first man to ever die, be buried and re-raised from the dead, never to die again. Raised up in a glorified body. Hallelujah. And gave us a preview of what exactly what's going to happen to you and what's going to happen to me. Oh, the joy of knowing Jesus, the value of knowing Jesus. We live in a materialistic world that is based on values that embrace the temporal and the material. But we are in a kingdom that is supposed to cause our values to shift from the temporal and the material to the spiritual and the eternal. You see, Jesus said, speaking of true riches, the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. Some people see that word abundance in the lens of the world, even as Christians, and interpret that scripture to mean houses and lands and the wealth of the world. Friend of mine, I want to tell you what that truly means. The same Jesus that said, I came to give you life and that more abundantly, said a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses. For what would a man give in exchange for his soul? Ah, friend, the life He gives is life eternal. And not only eternal life after this life is over, but He gives an abundance in the fulfillment that he can give us spiritually. I like what Billy Graham said. He was quoting someone else, but I remember when he said it and he wrote it down in some of his writings. He said, there's a God-shaped hole in every man and woman's heart. And we can try to fill it with the things of this world, but we can never fill that great chasm up, because it is designed for God to live there. Amen. And only God can fill that emptiness in our life. But when He comes in and fills us up with Himself and His presence, there is a fulfillment in life, eternal life in the world to come, and complete fulfillment and satisfaction in this life. Praise God. That is the true riches. Someone put it this way in light of that. It said, he is richest who has fewest wants. He is richest that has fewest wants. When you're complete in Christ, fulfilled in the Lord, knowing that eternity awaits us in the heavenly city, amen. Knowing that when this life is over, the greatest life of all begins. Hallelujah. In a glorified body that can never die. In a new world and a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, where the Lamb and the Lion lay down together. Praise God. Nothing shall hurt in His holy mountain. This is that great coming kingdom, amen, that will change heaven and earth, but His kingdom already can come in you and come in me and change us. Praise God. Hallelujah. The day you accept Christ as your Savior, He comes in and He fulfills that emptiness and that space that we try to fill with sin and the things of this world that are only going to pass away. Ah, but when Christ comes in, Christ in you constitutes the true riches of the believer, because not only does it give you the hope of glory in the world to come, but it gives you the glory of having His presence indwelled you here and now. Praise God. Christ in you constitutes the true riches of the believer. Because then we understand the difference in this temporal world and the eternal kingdom that we have been brought into. And that is so essential to effective evangelism, because it allows us to appreciate the awesome value of the blood of Jesus Christ. The reason that Jesus can indwell us and God can indwell us and the Holy Spirit can indwell us is because our sins have been so thoroughly dealt with and washed away. Amen. Because of the blood that Jesus shed on Calvary, we can be reconciled unto God, and every sin that we've ever committed can be forgiven. And that barrier between us and our God, that enmity that a holy God and fallen people, that enmity is removed. And we can come into His presence, and He can indwell our life with His presence. Not only can we go behind the veil, but He can come from behind the veil and not just live in His earthly habitation in the temple behind the veil. He has so cleansed us that our body becomes that holy place now. And He indwells the child of God. There's no doubt about it. Biblically, the Scriptures are very clear that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit can indwell the believer right here and right now. And in fact, He does. And it is that fact that gives us the hope of heaven and the hope of sharing the glory of His eternal reign to come. Christ in you means the blood of Jesus has become so efficient and effective in cleansing us that God can indwell us. Praise God. Paul looked out at a bunch of people. I tell you, after Christmas, I looked out at our own congregation, and I don't say this critically. Probably myself in the mirror would be included. We all look like we'd been through something. Amen. So many things are going on, so many events, so much hustle and bustle. You can't unscramble the egg. The holy day for the Christian, the holiday for the world, get intermingled at Christmas, and sometimes it leaves us worn out. But friend of mine, I tell you, I know how Paul must have felt, because he looked out and he saw people showing the stress and showing all of the pressures of the tests and temptations of life, and he said, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost that dwells in you? Don't you understand? Don't you understand this mystery and yet this truth and reality that now, because of the blood of Christ, God indwells you. Your body, your very body, amen, in your spirit, within your body, God can come by His Spirit and live within you. Praise God, amen. And it lifted that crowd up because they began to understand what they possessed in Jesus Christ, and they saw themselves as rich and full and in a situation spiritually that they could say, I am rich. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I have eternal life. I have a hope that this world cannot take away from me. We used to sing that camp meeting anthem. Amen. The world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. Praise God. This, I saw a bumper sticker the other day, said the benefits of serving Jesus are out of this world. Praise God. Amen. Heaven and earth passes, but His Word will abide forever. Heaven and earth passes as we know it. It's transient. Amen. But those that trust Jesus Christ will abide forever, because He gives us everlasting life. And He gives us the fulfillment of His indwelling presence here and now. Praise God. And then we begin to get a comprehension of the true riches of the child of God. The awesome value of the blood of Jesus Christ. I love that hymn. Some of the old hymns capture these great truths in such a very profound and powerful way. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. Would you, or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, friend of mine, there's nothing, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God. I come. What preciousness, what power, what riches we have to know that Jesus Christ died and shed His blood, the innocent suffering for the guilty, the just suffering for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. That there's no enmity between us and the holy God that we sinned against and offended and blasphemed. That all our sins have been forgiven. The value of the blood of Jesus, when we begin to assess it correctly and spiritually, we begin to see the true riches of the believer. The awesome value of eternal life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me, he shall never die. Ah, friend of mine, it doesn't mean this body won't pass away. It means that we will never cease to exist. To be absent from the body is not to be put in a cold grave. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And when this body is raised at the last trump, with the resurrection of the just, we're going to be reunited with this body, and it's going to be glorified, and we're going to live with Him forever. Ah, friend, Jesus stood and made that wonderful, powerful statement at the tomb of Lazarus. What price can you put on the promise that death will never conquer you? Hallelujah. Paul put it this way. He said, death, where's your sting? And grave, where's your victory? Death is swallowed up in victory. Hallelujah. You can't buy that. It isn't for sale. You can't buy one more minute of life with all the money in the world. But you can receive the gift of righteousness and eternal life. Amen. By receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you begin to sense a riches that the world can't comprehend. They don't get it. They don't understand the source of your peace, your joy, your optimism. It's because you have something, amen, that the world didn't give you. And you have something that the world can't take away. Praise God. Hallelujah. You have this mighty Savior and this wonderful salvation that He brought through the shedding of His precious blood. You are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, the Scriptures declare, after the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of a lamb without spot, without blemish. Because of that shed blood, we have the awesome gift of righteousness and the guarantee of eternal life, living with Him and with our loved ones that preceded us to heaven forever and ever, age without end, in a body that'll never get sick, never age. Amen. In a land where there will be no sorrow, no wreaths of death on our mansion doors. Praise God. Hallelujah. So Jesus said, what would it profit a man if he gained this world and lost his own soul? But then he also said of those that had received him as their Savior, they have eternal life. They have the abundant life. Praise God. A man's life doesn't consist of the abundance of things, but the abundance of grace, the abundance of forgiveness, the abundance that is granted to us when Jesus says, now I can come and live within you and indwell you. And that is your fulfillment in this life and guarantee of eternal life to come. Friend of mine, the greatest wealth you will ever know is not when you win the Powerball. It's when you receive Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord and Lord and Savior. Praise God. He wants to be both to you today. First, He wants to be your Lord as you turn from Satan to God, from darkness to life. And then He wants to be your Savior. Your Savior. To forgive every sin you've ever committed when you invite Him into your heart. Repent of your sin today. Invite Jesus into your heart, into your life, and begin to get a whole new value system and a sense. I'm rich beyond my wildest dreams and expectations. I will envy no man's gold and apparel, for I have everything because I have Jesus. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God. Hallelujah. Friend of mine, pray that prayer today. Accept Jesus as your Savior right now. And Christian, rejoice right where you are. You are rich today beyond your wildest dreams and imaginations. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Heaven awaits us, and Jesus is coming soon. All right. Until next week, please come and be back with us, and let's talk about Jesus.